the games, you follow the team, you wear the colors with pride, and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Time for some more high school football talk. Yesterday on the show, we focused on the Carbon Dinos. We had Coach Josh Huntsman on talking about Carbon's 21-14 loss. Today, we're going to flip talk Emory High School. Now, the Spartans will return to KOAL on Friday as they take on Summit Academy. But we are going to talk about the most recent loss and what lies ahead for this team, including on the injury front. Joining us right now over the phone, we have head coach John Famalo. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jordan.
Definitely. Coach, we'll start by talking about Friday's contest. You guys fall to Richfield 21-14. It was a game, a very entertaining game. I mean, back and forth, I'm sure, for everyone that was in attendance and those listening and watching. I mean, it was an entertaining contest. Unfortunately, you guys come out on the short end of the scoreboard in a game that was very winnable.
Yeah, I mean, we had plenty of opportunities. Like, say, just right before the half, like you and I talked, you know, we kind of blew an opportunity to take the lead before the half. And then we put the ball on the ground two times, and you know, we only had one takeaway, and so you know, that's the difference in the ball game. We fumble on there, our own 15, and you know, we cough it up on a drive on about the 20-25 yard line, and you know, I think we score there, and you know, different ball game. So turnovers were a big factor, and you know, a lot of mental mistakes and other things that we did that you know, kind of cost us the game.
Turnovers obviously played a factor in the second half, but the offense seemed to get rolling in the second quarter. I mean, I thought the offense looked pretty good, and then the second half, it was kind of a different game. Was that what you guys weren't doing, or was it more of what Richfield did as far as adjustments?
No, I think Richfield made some adjustments, and then, like I say, I think looking at the tape, you know, we just made some mistakes on some assignments that we had. You know, we looked back at the tape, and there were some missed blocks that, you know, a certain formation, I felt like if we would have got the blocks that we needed inside and outside, but it made a big difference on, you know, our third and fives, you know, and it made a big difference what I thought, just missed assignments. And, you know, they made a few adjustments, I thought, too.
If we talk about the offensive side of the ball, first varsity contest for Kyson Stilson as a starter. I thought Kyson was very efficient in this ball game. Did have the one interception, which really wasn't his fault when his arm was hit, if I remember correctly, but did lead this team down on a few really efficient drives. How did you assess the way Kyson played?
You know, I thought he played well. You know, I was encouraged by that, by his play. You know, he's a kid that, you know, he made a lot of plays with his legs, you know, and that's one thing I told, like, you know, our kids is that even with Kyson, you know, he's a playmaker, but we need to be an efficient playmaker, an effective playmaker, and that, you know, we need to be efficient in our offense. But he made some plays that, you know, wouldn't normally get done with a different quarterback, and, you know, that was nice to see from him.
Richfield definitely brought the pressure. I had four sacks down on my final stat total. How did you assess the play of the offensive line?
You know, looking back at the tape, I thought they did a pretty good job. There's a couple times those sacks, you know, I'll put on the line, but for the most part, that's, you know, I'm going to go to my receivers and to Kyson. You know, he's got to get the ball out of his hands, you know, and that's that playmaker in his mindset is, you know, he wants to extend the play and try to make a play, but, you know, you got to know when to cut your losses and get the ball out of your hands and take what you get. And, you know, there was a couple times, you know, I put that on him of holding the ball a little too long.
Ideally for you with this new offense, that internal clock in his head, how long do you want him to hold that ball before he gets it out? I mean, ideally, is there a specific time that he needs to sit in the pocket and get rid of the ball?
Oh, it's for us, it's 3 seconds. I mean, anything 3 seconds or less, that's, you know, that's our offense. You know, we can't, we're not a professional team that we can throw deep balls and, you know, hold it back there. And, you know, that's what Kyson does. He creates more time for himself, but ideally we want the ball out of his hands within 3 seconds.
If we go back to the final drive, you guys were able to move the sticks. Fourth down, Kyson rolls out to the left side. It would have been close. I think he probably could have gotten the first down with his feet, but when you look back at the read for him to try to go over the top of the defense to Easton was definitely open. Did you like that particular decision from Kyson?
I did. Honestly, I mean, he runs the ball, he doesn't get out of bounds, you know, there's more time that's off the clock, and I think under a minute left at that point, so we probably, you know, could have got a few more plays, but, you know, I like him taking that shot over the top. It was a design play, you know, he created a little bit of time, and, you know, he makes that catch, he's a hero, so, I mean, you take that with a grain of salt for the fact that you just, I mean, I didn't mind him throwing that ball at that time in the game.
No, I thought it was the right read. We talked about that in the broadcast booth. I mean, I thought it was the right read, especially considering the accuracy that Kyson had played with throughout the entire night. And we're talking about inches away from Easton coming up with that ball.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it, you know. And there's a few plays you saw a kid just barely get a hand on a ball that, you know, we would have had another big play. I mean, you know, for the most part, I thought he threw the ball well. I don't know what his final stats were, 17-26, something like that. But pretty good numbers. But again, that's their high percentage throws. That's what we try to throw.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach John Famala with the Emory Spartan football team. Defensively, you and I had talked, you wanted to be more of a, well, you thought that this team would have an offensive identity. Even though in our conversations off of the cuff where there were some mistakes defensively, Coach, if you hold a team to 21 points, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Well, I mean, that's a little more than we want to give up, honestly. I mean, I think we need to hold teams to 2 touchdowns or less. I mean, especially if we ball control. And so, I mean, there was some breakdowns, but, you know, and I think on the defensive side, you know, what was the discouraging part was we just were tired. And not that it was discouraging, it was just, you know, we had some kids that were tired and weren't getting off the ball, especially on the defensive line. And, you know, the Hafen kid, he gets outside the pocket, he's a dangerous kid, and that's one thing we talked about. And that's when he got out of the pocket, he created things or he was moving with his legs. And, you know, that's where they got the big plays that, you know, we struggled a little bit.
You talk about Emmett Hafen, again, a fantastic quarterback. This weekend, you guys are going to go up against another very good quarterback and a very good team in Summit Academy. A lot of people have pegged them to be one of the front runners as far as the 3A classification goes. But, I mean, again, Hayden Reynolds can throw the football. He can sling it around. So right out of the gate, you guys are seeing some very good quarterback play.
Yeah, that is. I mean, he's an excellent quarterback, a dual-threat kid that, you know, not only can run the ball, but he can throw the ball. And, you know, those are the toughest guys to defend. You know, I'd rather have a guy that sits in the pocket or they run the ball, one or the other. But with a quarterback that's a dual threat, you know, we got to have our ducks in a row. And, you know, we got to make sure we're on top of things. You know, he threw 3 picks, and so he's going to throw the ball up. And so we just got to be opportunistic when it is up in the air and, you know, try to get some picks and then hopefully we can put some points on the board with it.
Yeah, it was a frustrating game last year against Summit Academy because I thought you guys outplayed Summit Academy throughout certain quarters in this contest. Unfortunately, the offense just never got moving. How similar is this year's Summit Academy team to what we saw last year?
I think they're probably a lot more physical up front than they were last year. I think that's the difference when I look at tape from last year to this year is, you know, they've got a few big horses and, you know, their skill guys are a little bit better than they were last year. You know, they've got about 2 or 3 kids that can really move and catch the ball. And, you know, that's what we're up against. They're a really good team, but, you know, I think our kids are going to put their best foot forward, and I think we're going to be pretty competitive in this matchup.
Now, I've loved the series with Summit Academy over the last, 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's always an entertaining game, regardless of the final score. There's always been some entertaining aspects when you two have shared the field.
Yeah, I mean, it's been back and forth. I think at each place, I think it's been back and forth. They won at their home, and, you know, we won at our home, and we like to keep it that way. But, you know, we know we're fighting an uphill battle against them, and we're going to do our best to see what we can do to come out on top.
Now that you have one game under your belt, Coach, what was practice like this week? Was it any different than it had been, you know, going into the season? Did you notice any changes, any urgency? I mean, anything at all from your team?
You know, I think, if anything, we have a little bit more focus. I mean, watching the film and seeing the kids, you know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. And, you know, when they saw them, you know, taking off a few plays, you know, on certain areas, I think they realized, oh, hey, you know what, I got to be a lot better, or I got to get myself on the field and get somebody in that can be a lot better when I am tired. And so I think that aspect of it for the kids seeing, you know, the film doesn't lie as to what happens and missed assignments and, you know, taking off plays. And so that was a good thing for the kids to see. And, you know, I think they focused up for the fact that, okay, hey, you know, we can't take plays off. We're not that good.
Well, you know, one of the things, for me, it's easy to study this team as far as names and numbers go this year because you don't have a whole lot of varsity players, which is bad news for you because that means you got a lot of kids playing both ways. Did you notice fatigue late in this game against Richfield?
We did. About the midway through the third quarter, into the fourth. I mean, especially our defensive line, offensive line, and, you know, that they started getting tired. Our safeties started getting a little bit tired because they were getting run a little bit ragged. And, you know, first thing that goes when you get tired is fundamentals and you know, just thinking. You know, you kind of just get through the motions. And, you know, that's kind of where our breakdowns, I thought, happened was fatigue. You know, kids just started taking plays off, and again, our fundamentals broke down, and you know, we started giving up a few more plays.
If I remember right, Coach, one of the scoring drives in the game against Richfield was roughly 6 or 7 minutes, if I remember right. I mean, when you have a lack of depth, when you have a lack of numbers, that's key, right, to play ball control and finish off drives that are lengthy, 6, 7 minutes?
That is. I mean, that's our recipe for success this year. I mean, honestly, I think we probably did ball control, maybe not so much the second half. I think the first half we did, and it's probably about 50-50 the second half, you know, and that's what we need. We need long, drawn-out drives and, you know, make them play on the defensive side and then, you know, try to get ourselves off the field and ball control and keep the ball in our hands as much as we can.
What was the best aspect from your team this past Friday?
I was really happy offensively. You know, I thought our line did well. I thought we ran the ball well. Rance ran the ball well. I thought we threw well. You know, I was really happy because I was really apprehensive as to, you know, with this new offense, what are we going to get? You know, and that's where I was probably more pleased than anything with the offensive side. And defensively, and you know, we got some work to do still.
Well, Summit Academy is a team, I think they threw the ball 35, 40 times this past Friday against Union, probably going to get somewhat similar in that regard. And you do have a quarterback playing both ways around the outside. Does that change your coaching at all this week, knowing that you're probably secondary is going to get a lot more work downfield than they did against Richfield?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, I think if we can get a little bit of pressure on them, keep them inside the pocket, you know, hopefully our coverages are not as far down the field, and you know, we can kind of keep things in front and keep fresh. But if we're chasing guys all over the field, we're going to have a long night. And so, again, keeping fresh, especially on the edges, is going to help, and getting a little bit of pressure on him, you know, that always helps too.
Well, Coach, it is always fun to talk with you. Thank you again for the time. Best of luck on Friday. We'll see you at the game.
Hey, thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Again, Coach John Fumalo taking out the time to join us here on Drive Time Sports. Friday, we'll be live at 6:30 p.m. You will be able to listen to the game right here on KOAL, or you can stream it at CastleCountryRadio.com. We've got a break for just a moment. Plenty of headlines circulating in the national sports scene. Today was the final pre-fight press conference for Mayweather-McGregor. Also, we had a massive NBA trade go down last night. Kyrie Irving, now a member of the Boston Celtics, and also, we got to start talking some college football. That's all straight ahead here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.